into the sucking detonation of the Gren. Found Giardino's legs and some of his left arm. Part of his skull landed in a cooking fire 50 yards away.
Ryan could almost taste the sharp bitterness that an implogren left behind it, and the other scent of scorched meat. The pair of legs had bizarrely balanced for several seconds before they'd folded limply in on themselves.
That's why we chill everybody.
Retha seemed frozen in a state of shock. Mildred had managed to clean her up some, washing off most of the welter of blood that had covered her when Ryan and the others had opened up. But the girl still hadn't spoken, sitting quietly on one of the thwarts, head down, staring at her feet in the long rubber boots. Christy moved to stand by Ryan.
What now, lover? Head for Matin?
Why not? We paid some of the fare, and nobody'll ask us for any extra. Hide this boat, and then use it when we want to go back into the gateway.
Ryan, who was the woman with the lilac eyes?
What? How do you know?
Caught a strong flash of her when J.B. was opening up with his story of Taos.
Oh. A woman I knew.
Knew, lover?
We made it two or three times. I can't remember. It was a long time ago.
Once everyone had cleaned themselves up, or in the case of the teenage girl, been cleaned up, there was a general agreement that they should persist on their way. They'd cross the Harlem River and find somewhere to stash the stolen raft, and then see what old Manhattan had in store for them. It took some time to master the clumsy raft. Ryan took the tiller, trying to keep the rounded prow headed roughly toward the distant shore, without striking any of the rusting and protruding piles of tangled iron. Doc and Christy hefted the oars on the starboard side, while Dredd and Mildred rowed on the port side. J.B. stood in the bow, like an antique figure of a harpooner, guiding Ryan away from the dangers. Retha sat still and silent. Before taking the raft close to the southern bank of the river, Ryan spent a quarter hour trying to master the eccentric steering. It had occurred to him that they might possibly need to make a swift getaway at some point, and if they floundered in helpless circles at that point, they'd be easy meat. But he was eventually satisfied.
All right, J.B., we're heading in over there.
Where?
There! The inlet between the two tumbled buildings!
The slow current had carried them downriver toward the piles of what had once been a massive bridge. If they had had access to a 100-year-old map, they'd have known that it had been called the Triborough Bridge, running from Randall's Island Park on the east side to join Harlem River Drive. As it was, the raft grounded gently on Manhattan Island, close to where the old Second Avenue intersected with 128th Street.
All ashore that's going ashore, and watch out for hostile natives.
Amen to that.
The muddy shore didn't show any tracks, human or muti. Working together, they managed to drag the cumbersome raft up and out of sight, using some driftwood to cover it. Retha finally began to shake herself out of her shocked misery and helped. All around them stretched a limitless, devastated wasteland. Wrecked buildings and decayed roadways, the occasional heap of rusted metal that had once been an automobile. There was no sign of life in any direction.
Now what?
You feel anything?
There's a cold wind. Bites at the skin. No, I don't feel anything close. But there's a sort of strong, all-round feeling of, like a blanket crawling with fleas. I don't know. There aren't the right words for it, lover. Just that this feels like one of the most dangerous places we've ever been.
Then we'll take care.
We always do take care, lover.
Dredd was staring up at the sky, head thrown back, the corded muscles of his scrawny neck standing out like spun twine. J.B. was getting antsy.
Could do with something to eat. Is there a deli around here?
What?
Food.
Where?
Pay attention, son. Where's a good place to get some food?
Food's hard.
Food's always hard, Dredd. This is Yorville. Tell us where to go and what to do.
The boy ran his fingers through the matted dreadlocks, looking back across the river to his own turf. He turned to Retha.
We're not far from the big park. Eatery's there, by where the dry lake is.
Central Park and the reservoir. Only a mile or so from here, maybe 2 miles. Be there before noon.
It would take them well over 2 hours to cover that mile and a half. The clouds had gathered from over the Jersey swamps, bringing a light drizzle that smeared the gray streets. Visibility dropped, and the temperature slithered toward uncomfortable. Ryan led the way, keeping the group in a tight patrol formation. JB brought up the rear, the brim of his beloved fedora keeping the light rain off his glasses. Doc was next to last. Retha and Mildred walked just in front of him. Christy was third in line, with Dredd a half dozen paces ahead.
Any danger here?
Always is danger in Matt and Ryan, but they won't likely attack a gang like us with such extreme blasters.
As they made their way through the ville, Ryan concluded that clusters of missiles must have been responsible for such devastation. Even one of the big ones from the space programs wouldn't have taken out such a large urban area. The rad counters all showed clean and green, so it hadn't been anything dirty. And the damage was clear evidence that it sure as shit hadn't been caused by any neutron-based weapons. What the explosions had done was to leave a great space ahead of them. Here and there, jagged peaks of masonry stood up, rainwater trickling off in diamond rivulets. But there was nothing else.
Dredd?
Yeah, I've been here before. Fucking dead streets. Have to go way around.
Why not straight across?
Holes. All sorts of big holes. You can't see some of them. Muty rats live in there bigger than dogs. And there's wet places. Deep, wet places you go down and you don't ever come up.
What a foul and noisome place this is. The Big Apple finally turned rotten.
Ryan allowed the boy to lead the way around the fringes of the totally ruined area. It involved threading back north, then east, then west, passing the 116th and Lexington subway stop. The entrance gaped open, and they could smell the foul stench of rotting meat. Finger on the trigger of his AK-47, Dredd hurried them past the dark hole. No one bothered to ask what it was that dwelled down there. As they neared the northern edge of Central Park, they began to see more signs of life.
New York's about the biggest ville I've ever been in. I keep seeing these shadows dancing around right at the edge of scene, moving from pile of stone to heap of brick. Never there when you turn and look straight at them.
Should there be a lot of bodies still around? Millions died here. Millions. Where'd all the bones go?
There's plenty still under the dirt.
I think the rain's stopping. Yeah, I understand about lots of them being under the wreckage, but there must have been others.
Retha smiled slyly, putting her fingers to her thin lips and making the unmistakable gestures of eating.
Oh, Gaia. Wish I'd never asked.
They could all smell roasting meat and baking bread.
What do we pay with? And don't even think about the sort of shit that went down on the boat.
Not like that. Straight barter. Ammo's real good. I got me some old rounds for a 9mm. Stole them a year ago. Most don't fire, but they trade real good. I think I got them around here. Here. They're real beauts, ain't they?
I say, bartering with ammo. Why, we'll be like Croesus himself.
Long as we don't end up like him.
Dr. Wyeth, you are well-versed in Lydian history.
I know a little here and there.
That's enough, you two. Keep quiet and keep close. We're going in.
They walked tight-grouped along a trodden path, trampled into the mud. Now, from all directions, they could see other people, most moving south toward the source of the scent of food. A few came back north, eyes averted from the heavily armed strangers. Some carried what looked like brand-new garbage bags, hugged to their chests. Several wore small blasters in their belts, and all hefted some kind of blade. Most were shrouded in tattered pants and patched cloaks. Few seemed to be more than 20 years old. Christy inhaled the rich cooking smells.
Getting real hungry, lover.
Up ahead was the nearest thing to a crowd Ryan had ever seen in all of his life in Deathlands. There must have been 200 or 300 men and women. But the people seemed to sense the presence of the Outlanders the same way a witch scented evil. They parted at the approach of Ryan and the others, like minnows before a cruising pike. The path had one last bend before it dropped sharply to a great oval space, which Ryan guessed must have once been the reservoir Mildred had mentioned. And there was one of the more amazing sights he'd ever seen. The tall, one-eyed man stood and gaped, surrounded by his friends, while the ragged crowd moved sullen and slow about them, like water roiling around a spur of granite.
Fireblast. Well, that really is something.
All over Deathlands, there were vills of every size and description. Most ruled by a baron who held it by force of personality, or arms. Most of them had markets of varying sizes. There would be stalls cobbled together, offering all manner of local produce, food and home brew, meat, eggs and milk, clothes, and there was almost always some dealer selling ammo and blades. But this great arena, in the middle of what was once Central Park, was brimming with